Good evening, everybody. Ele Pekudei HaMishkan, the parasha that ends the book of Shmot. And one of the most interesting things of our parasha is that also we have here the calculation about everything, where it went exactly, the gold, the silver, the copper, whatever. But there is something that goes again and again in our parasha, and it is Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to ask
you. See, so without asking, so I asked myself. Yes, I saved your question. And from what I remember, it's 18 times.
What's 18 times?
Chai and also Tfilat Shmoneh Esrei.
Shmoneh Esrei.
Yes. So what's the idea behind it? Kechol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. We all know that Moses was ordered by the Kodesh Baruch Hu to do whatever he does and to tell it to Am Yisrael. So it was good Moses. Enough to tell us, as Moshe told Am Yisrael, Kasher Tziva Moshe. And also, okay, it's written, El Buda Mishkan Hashem Pukad Al Pi Moshe, and also in the end it's written, everything was done according to what God told Moses. So why do we have to say it again and again and again? One of the reasons is a very simple reason. We have a lot of ideas and we have very good intentions. But unfortunately, we don't always do the right thing. Because, you know, they say in Hebrew, Kavanot HaTovot Movilot LaGehenom. It says you have all those good intentions, they lead you to hell.
The road to hell is
The road is full with good intentions. The road to hell is full with good intentions.
That's right.
And what does it mean? Well, if I think good, what's wrong with it?
You think good, but
your intention.
My intention also good.
You don't always carry out.
You don't follow through.
I follow through and it's no good.
It turns sour.
Why?
Because your intention.
Because I'm a human being. And not what I think is always the right thing to do.
So how do you know?
We have this woman that helps us clean in the house. And last week we asked her to do a proper job on the room, on the bedroom. So she did a very, very good job. And I came back to the room. Something was shining. Everything was beautiful. But something wasn't looking so right. And then I realized that all the stuff I had on my table near the bed is not there anymore. So I'm starting to look around. I don't see the drawers here, the cupboard. It's not there.
She threw it out.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I found it. Never mind. It's not right there. The point is, she had good intentions.
Yeah.
Also, she's got this. She's very strong. And we have a sliding door. Like the cupboard has got a sliding door. And a few times I asked already, don't do it hard.
Because it goes off the track.
It goes off the track.
Right. I have that too.
Half an hour it took me to put the door back.
And now your back is off.
And she's got good intentions. So in other words, to have good intentions not necessarily is the right thing. I have this where we sell chairs, and I had this guy is putting the cushion of the seat to the metal frame, and he used long nails. No, wrong screw, sorry. So, this very nice. The chair looks beautiful. The minute you sit on it, so this is
you receive a lot of
the road injections. To hell is full with good intention.
Paved
with good intention. Okay. So we walk on the pavement of good intention. Right to hell. Okay. So, what is the Torah trying to tell us? We just learned that Am Yisrael did a sin of the golden calf. Now, we all know that we're talking about a generation that is on a very high level. And God spoke with them. And they saw the Shekhinah. Now, is it really? No, and nevertheless, as you remember, we were talking about it. They approach Aaron to build them the golden calf. And if they really wanted to worship idols, would Aaron be the address?
No.
Just definitely not. So in other words, maybe there was good intentions, good thinking, but wrong doing. So they were at a very high level, and they saw that up there in the spiritual world, there is a carriage that carries God, or carries the Shekhinah, whatever you call it. It's not something that we a lot of times those things that are abstract, we have to, in order for us to understand it, we put it in, let's say, in a physical frame, in order to understand. So one of the figures that is carrying this carriage is an ox. So Am Yisrael thought, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu is not here. What's going to be? We need a connection with God. We cannot stop the connection. So how are we going to connect with God? So they went to Aaron. Aaron, put please something between us and God. And what is better than one of the figures that is already there in heaven? There in... So we all know what happened. Also the king of Kuzar, in the book of Kuzari, the same thing. He wants to worship God. And he does certain things, and an angel reveals himself in the dream and tells him, you have very good intentions, but your deeds are no good. And that is exactly the biggest lesson we have to learn from the sin of the golden calf, and what the Torah is now saying again and again and again. They did nothing from their own opinion or from their own mind. They did everything, kasher tziva, Hashem et Moshe. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Exactly as God ordered Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly this is what they did. That's why we're saying it again and again and again. To make sure for us, to also, even if we have sometimes our own ideas, we have to put them in the right place and check if they are good or bad. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we also, one of the problems is that we want something, so we turn around things and make it right. But is it right? So how do we know if it's right or wrong? That's why we have our sages, and we have I was talking this week, and I'm writing it also in the paper for this week. I was talking about in Perek Chelek in the Gemara, Sanhedrin, is written about the connection between the oral Torah and the written Torah. Mm-hmm. And they are one thing. You cannot separate them. And also here when it's written, in our Parsha, says the Orach Haim HaKadosh, Asher pakad al pi Moshe, it says al pi Moshe is al pe. It's the Torah sheba al pe. So the Torah is also trying to tell us that al pi Moshe is also the connection between the oral Torah and the written Torah. There are one thing. Now, why is it so important? Because you cannot understand one without the other. For example, chometz on Pesach. What is chometz? The Torah doesn't write exactly what it is. So I can say chometz in Hebrew is chamutz. Sour. So maybe I'm not allowed to eat a lemon. All sour things.
I always thought that vinegar is not to eat.
It's sour.
But then I saw kasher le Pesach.
Exactly. So you see, you can very easy make a mistake. Also, talking about brit milah, this is very interesting. Cutting the orla, this is what it's called. Cutting the piece that cut from the boy is calling orla. Mm-hmm. And somebody is doesn't do a brit is an arel. So what is orla if I haven't got the Torah Sheba'al Peh? With no oral Torah, no Mishnah, no Gemara, so what should I cut? It's written, Bayom HaShmini Yimol Psa'o Orlato. Okay. So if we look in the Torah Shebichtav, what is orla? So there is orlat halev. The heart is also called Orlat Alev. Now, we have to understand Orla means something that you have to take off, but it's normally a spiritual situation. When we're talking about Orlat Alev, Tasiru et Orlat Levavchem, we mean that you have to take the wrong thoughts that you think in your heart, take them out. They're also Orlat Sfatai. lips, and also olat ha'ozen, ear. So, this is also, by the way, a ra ola of trees. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we have this baby. Bayom Hashmini, we have to take his orla.
So
if we haven't got the Torah Shebaal Peh, so we cut a piece of his ear, a piece of his mouth, then do an operation, cut a piece of his heart, and then also cut a tree in the garden. And if the baby survived, we did a Brit Milah. So we understand and realize if you haven't got the oral Torah, we cannot understand.
You can't take it literally.
In other words, we cannot have the Torah Shebechta without the Torah Shebaal Peh. And this is also the lesson part. Okay, so how do I know what God wants from me? Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Why is it not in Kasher tziva Hashem? Because we are simple people. We don't always know exactly what God wants from us. That's why we have a rabbi. And the rabbi is supposed to tell us what God wants. Now, there is another question that you all will ask. Who?
And how?
And how, and what, and this. So, first of all, I want to tell you, and really, you can check it by yourself. Inside, we have our neshama, which is connected to God. And there's no doubt about it. The neshama is chelek eloka mimal. It's a part that connects us to God. That's what it is. In other words, it's a part of God. So, if God is inside us, and that's the whole idea of the Mishkan, ve'asu li mikdash, v'shachanti betochan. And we explained it a few times. You make me a shrine, you make me a mishkan, you make me a home, and I will dwell among you. Not in the building, among you, inside you. In other words, God is where? Okay, so I have a direct connection to God. So now I have those 10 rabbis, 20 rabbis. Who should I listen to? Who should I make my rabbi? Listen to your heart and check deep inside. If you have the good feeling about it, that's it. If something is wrong, check again. And of course, there are those that you don't even try to check. You know, a Reform rabbi, for example, is not in our books. But I'm talking, our problem, unfortunately, today is that the Orthodox rabbis, some of them, they lost the way. I'm sorry to tell you. So how do I know? So on Tuesday when I gave a lesson in Palace, one of the ladies said a very interesting thing. She was living, I don't know where she lived, in Ireland or somewhere, whatever. There was a rabbi, and this rabbi told him something to do all the years, and she had the feeling it's not right. And then when she moved here, she asked one of the Admorim, the great brother here, and she was right. It was wrong what he said. So I told her, here, you have an example, a living example. You had a feeling that this thing that he's saying is wrong. But you still did it because he was your rabbi. Okay, I'm not saying it, but Baruch Hashem, God helped you to find out the truth. You see, if we really seek the truth inside, God will tell us if it's right or wrong. If we really look for the truth. Unfortunately, sometimes we look what is good in our eyes, in our heart. That's exactly what the Torah is saying. Ka'asher tziva Hashem et Moshe.
It's not easy.
A lot of things in life are not easy. Yes, a lot of things in life are not easy. By the way, but if it was easy, so there's no job. We have got nothing to do here. We could have stayed in heaven.
You have to be sincere with you.
The whole idea is here that we have this relationship with Yetzer Hara, who tries we're talking here about Dor De'ah. You know, we explain to you what Dor De'ah is. Dor De'ah is, it's knowledge, like, you know, a simple translation. But Rashi says, De'ah, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And what is really de'ah? Ve'adam yada et ishto. That's what's written. In other words, it's a connection. It's a connection. In other words, when I'm talking about, if I take now all the things, the knowledge, connection with God, and I put it together, so knowledge, connection with God, and I've got the right thing, the right idea. Yes, da'at is from one side knowledge, and from the other side, it is Ruach HaKodesh that connects us with God.
It's a sparkle that...
Is what?
A sparkle that we get connection.
You can call it whatever you want.
And then you realize
that
because God exists.
Yes. And then, so in other words, you have to listen to yourself and seek for the real truth. And that's what I'm saying, that a lot of times we have this question, who is the right rabbi? Who should be? It's not easy. It's not a simple task. So this is exactly the point. We see, I don't want to go and talk about rabbis and things, but we all know that not everybody who's got the title of rabbi is exactly a tzaddik. Unfortunately, some of them that just do it as a degree in university.
They're also human.
That's exactly. By the way, talking about human, the Torah is also telling us, even Moshe Rabbeinu, if we're already talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, how is Sefer Vayikra ended? Sefer Shemot, sorry. The Shekhinah comes down on the shrine, and it's written, Pasuk. Yes. Pasuk. Lamed Hei. Lamed Hei, that's where the point. The point is in Lamed Hei. We can start from Lamed Dalet. Vayechas Anan, you've got it, it's in the end of the parsha. Yeah. Pasuk 34. Vayechas Anan et Oel Moed, uKvod Hashem Malet HaMishkan. So the cloud covered the tent and the Spirit of God filled the whole Mishkan. And then what's written? Velo yachol Moshe leikanes. Lo yachol Moshe lavo el oel moed ki shachan alav anan uKvod Hashem Malet HaMishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go in oel moed because the Holy Spirit filled up the whole place and there is no place for him. Now, if we start Sefer Vayikra, what's written in Vayikra? Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber el Amor el Moed, Deamor, Daber ibn Yisrael, Amarta lehem. In other words, God calls Moshe Rabbeinu to come in. Unbelievable. Now, if we would write a book of Shemot, and we're talking about this Moshe Rabbeinu, he's so close to God, Moshe Isha Elokim, Pe el Pe Adaber bo, God speaks with him mouth to mouth, Bekol Beti Ne'eman bo, he can do whatever he wants, he can come in and out, wherever he wants, and suddenly we come to this point where he cannot go in to Oel Moed, but then we know that's not the truth, because the pasuk after, two psukim later, he goes in.
No, but one is where he goes in on his own.
But location. How would you end?
The other is he's invited in by God.
So I'm asking, what would be the nicest way to end Sefer Shemot?
That's with what the, invite him to
with
end.
The invitation.
So why is the Torah finishing Sefer Shemot with a point that Moshe is standing outside, cannot go in?
To show that he's human.
Mm-hmm. To show us that even Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the man of God, Isha Elokim, he is also at the end of the day mortal and he is a human being. In other words, even though Kasher Tzivah Hashem Moshe, Kasher Tzivah Hashem Moshe, and Moshe gave the Torah, and Moshe, 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 it's only God. It's only God. By the way, that's the mistake of the Christians. They made the prophet a part of God. So this is a very important point. The point that the Torah ends Sefer Shemot with, the whole Sefer Shemot is talking about, telling us all the time, except of one parasha, as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, 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 Moshe. And this Moshe, this great guy, cannot go into the Oel Moed that he built by himself. You know, nobody could build it. They brought all the parts to him. Which is also another interesting story. But this is a lesson to learn, to understand. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, is a human being, and there are certain points where we cannot enter. So we, al achat kama v'chama,
we are not Moshe Rabbeinu.
So we have to understand that even rabbis and things, by the way, also sometimes do mistakes. It also happens. But from the start, we have to choose who do we listen to. And it's
that's the problem, because some people go with their heart and some people go with rationality.
You remember what we said last parsha? It's written all the time, Chokhmat Alev, the wisdom of the heart. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're talking about. You said now two things, which is very interesting. We have the wisdom and we have the heart. So we have to connect it. And only if we connect it, we will get to the right point. That's exactly the point. That's what it is, the wisdom of the heart. Mm-hmm. With no connection, we have a problem. Okay, so we said that Moshe Rabbeinu is, God tells him what to tell Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael do exactly what they are being told by Moshe Rabbeinu. I think a few years ago we talked about it. I hope you understand it in English, because it's we'll try and say it anyway. There was no, I was going to say it in Hebrew also, because that's the whole point, is that you have to understand the Hebrew. We have to understand, sometimes we hear things, but we talk about Pi Hashem and Moshe and everything. Sometimes we don't understand what we hear, because we haven't got enough knowledge. And there was this true story. There was this group of youngsters that were doing tshuva. And the rabbi was helping them do the tshuva. When they were ready, he took them to Bnei Barak to do Shabbos with the religious families. And everybody went to another family. And this rabbi, he sits in the where he was invited to, and he sits in the table. They just did kiddush. They started eating. Then, and the door, knocking on the door, like, and one of the youngsters comes in. He's all white and looks very terrible.
Pale.
Says, "What happened?" Says, "You know, we're coming back from shul, going home, and to this guy, and he's doing kiddush. And before he's doing kiddush, he tells me, 'Ata rotze לצאת לבד או שאני אוציא אותך?' In English,
Kiddush,
in
yeah.
translation, simple translation, 'You want to go out by yourself, I'll take you out.'"
But he meant it for Kiddush.
Because in Hebrew it says, "Yotze yedei chova." So there are those who do Kiddush for everybody,
right.
And there are those who, everybody wants to be Yotze by himself.
Right.
So, this guy didn't know exactly what the guy knows or not. So he asked him, "Do you want to do the Kiddush by yourself, or I'll do the Kiddush for you?" So he's asking him in Hebrew, "Ata rotze latzet levad o shani otzi otcha?" You want to go out by yourself, or I'll take you out? So he ran out. And oh, this is a true story, you know. And think about this guy. He doesn't understand what he's talking about. The same thing happened to me. I had a cousin came from the States, and we had a family function, whatever, and she went to buy a dress. And she was, after a few hours, she comes back home crying to her mother. Says, "What happened?" He says, "Wherever I come to, I put a dress on. They says, 'Chaval al hazman.'" Chaval al hazman. So she translated, "A waste of time." Also,
because I also did that. I had that. I mean, when we came to Israel, Chaval al hazman means a waste of a time.
So what
and then
now?
I asked. I was in the
today
office.
Is
I was in the
wonderful.
Office with the secretary, and I asked her how was such and such. Maybe it was a show. I said, "Chaval al hazman, Monte Kolkach Karua." But song,
Exactly. So in other words, you hear something, you try to translate it to what you understand, and sometimes you don't really understand the point.
All the youth say Kabbalah's man.
It's not only this, there are a lot of things that you hear, today they even don't say Chablas, they say. Chablas. They don't, it's too many words. Yeah. So Chablas. They're shorting everything. Chablas. So, in other words, those are things that happen all the time. And you come to a new community, you come to a new society, you come to a new place. They have their own slang. They have their own way of communication. It's like, you know, my wife is from an English family. And I remember when we started dating, I came to Shabbos there, so I've got the four plates. No, here in Israel, it was still in Israel. Four plates, 100 knives, 200 forks, 300 spoons, all different sizes, different shapes. Different shapes. And you look at this, and say, oh, what am I going to do here? So I knew you have to go from out to in, that they explained to me.
Right.
Out in. But you know, I think to myself, somebody who doesn't know anything, what is he going to do? Then you have a few glasses also. You know, you have a glass for this and glass for that. And oy vavoy, if you choose the different,
the wrong glass.
Yes. So again, that's exactly the point. You know, from the other side, you come to, let's say, Arab family or Bedouin family, or let's say the same, and they Marocans. Put this big thing in the middle.
There's no soap.
No spoons at all. No spoons, no knife, no forks. What do you do then?
And everyone's ate from the same plate.
So, in other words, it's complicated.
Culture. It's a culture.
Exactly. So, this is the reason. Now we're talking about culture. So, can you imagine the deepness of the Torah? If we don't understand those simple things, how dare we think that we can understand the Torah without our sages, without the Torah Sheba'al Peh, without explanations? And that's the problem.
What is Oraita? Oraita is
Oraita is Torah.
Torah Bichla? Torah?
Torah, yes. Oraita.
I thought that Oraita is the Torah Baal Peh or Torah.
No. Oraita is Torah. The Peirush of is in Aramaic. Oraita is Torah.
But it's a
tough.
Normally in Aramaic, by the way, everything ends with an Aleph. By the way, it's very interesting. Normally in Aramaic, when you write it in the Hebrew, it always starts in, it's finished with Aleph. Not with Hey, it's Aleph.
Pascha.
Pascha, Oraita, whatever. It's always Aleph. But it doesn't matter. You read it the same. You haven't got a Hey at the end. It's always an Aleph. So. Another interesting point to know that we do the right thing or not, or the way we do things, it's also, in Chovot al-Vavot he writes it, I haven't got it here, fortunately, he writes a very interesting thing. If you do something, how do you know that it's the right thing in the eyes of God or not? How do you do if you do a complete things or... So you have to ask yourself two questions. The first question is, what do I expect to get out of it? And who do I expect to give it to me?
If the politicians ask that,
they'll be... Here's a politician. You don't sit at this table at all. But let's say, if I expect a human being to give me a reward for what I'm doing, so it's no good. If I understand that what I want is... I'm not doing it for a reward, I'm doing it from God, and whatever God wants to give me, so that's a complete thing. That's a good thing, very good thing. Then there is another question. I do it the same way when everybody sees me. How do I'm going to do the same thing when nobody sees me? You know, a lot of times in life, we are very generous because people know what we're doing or looking.
My grandmother used to say,
people are not generous, God is generous. You got to be careful for the people, not for God.
So in other words, you ask yourself, what I'm doing now with everybody is seeing me, would I do it the same way, the same thing, when nobody sees me? If the answer is yes, you are Baruch Hashem a tzaddik. If not, we don't give up. We have to work on ourselves. Because a lot of times it's we know ourselves. If, you know, if somebody says we behave better, we do better things, we show, like everybody knows about it. It's like this thing that I don't like it personally, that they...